of God would draw your attention to the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We began this morning to ask the question, who was this promise for? Who will be the subject of this great mercy that is described so simply of Jesus Christ? It is only those who know what it is to be the subjects of change. Those dear souls who know the change that grace makes from nature's darkness to that glorious light of the gospel, that deadness which by birth and by practice we all are the subject of, and that wondrous work which only grace can do, which the Holy Ghost will do in every one of his dear people, quickening them into divine life, putting them into a pathway which will lead them to glory. And then they shall be the subjects of changes. He that is without change fears not God. But they'll have changes. Sometimes the billows will be increased, the winds shall blow, the rains of tribulation shall fall. Sometimes it's darkness, sometimes it's light. Sometimes the comfort of the Lord's presence is with them, the strength of his everlasting arms are upholding them, and sometimes their pathway is they walk alone. And this blessed promise will be their comfort then. His love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. This is the foundation of the comfort of the Lord's dear people. This is the certainty that grace-taught sinners will go to heaven. This is where real salvation and its blessings and favours are to be found, in the person of Jesus Christ. We closed this morning's service in this, in speaking of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, by speaking a little about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in his presence. And what a comfort that is, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay, was quoted. And my friends, that's a wonderful mercy. A mercy, I believe, which has to be walked out to be understood. And that though friends fail and foes unite, he's the same yesterday. We spoke of the yesterdays, the Lord Jesus Christ from all eternity, if we may describe it as a yesterday. And we spoke of the yesterday's experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, when he came born of a woman, born under the law, when he walked through this veil of tears, as we would describe it, 33 years, the yesterday of Jesus Christ. We spoke about the yesterdays of the spiritual experiences of the Lord's people. those great times, those sacred times, those tender times when the Lord was dear, near, and gracious to their souls. And to repeat it, my friends, it isn't always like that. And we spoke about the changes, the ups and downs of the spiritual experiences of the Lord's people, the hiding of his face, the chastening hand of God, but supporting the people of God consciously and unconsciously is this word, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday. Oh, you that can look back on the what you hope is the Lord's work in your soul, and though at this time you might feel that he hides his face, my friends, be strengthened by this, be encouraged by it, that there's no alteration or change in him. We sang that hymn. We sung the words, didn't we? Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, have you got some hitherto's? Have you got some Ebenezer spots in your pathway? What does it teach you? Well, there are precious seasons, you will say. The prophet of old, we read in that time of deliverance to Israel, between Mizpah and Shen there was a stone set up. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And what does the hitherto rest upon? An unchangeable and faithful, glorious God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Now, the Lord help us to continue then. We said it was a most familiar text. We hope and trust that there's many ways in which we might look at such a word which is familiar. It is often preached about him only, and rightly so, because Christ must be preached. But why is he the same yesterday and today and forever? Why is it? Because he cannot change and he will not change, and nothing can change his mind and will. It is a wonderful mercy, my friends, when you have grace, I have grace given to us to inquire at the Lord what it is his will for us. And you'll find it's unalterable. And you'll find it's on the side of the Church of Christ. Now it goes on to say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. And today. What is the today that is to be spoken of this glorious person? What can you say of one who is an eternal God? They are expressions, you know, yesterday and today and forever. They are expressions which we might say are really descriptive of time. Yesterday and today is. And you can't describe today as being something which is descriptive of Christ, you know, because he's an eternal God. He doesn't have changes like we have. Time brings changes to those who fear God, you know. Alterations, circumstances, afflictions, weariness, age, lack of strength, and so on. They're all, as it were, indications of time and are drawing near to the end of the journey. Now, my friends, Jesus Christ today, the same today. And oh, he's the same today as he ever was. Isn't it? It should be surely the Lord help you to, as it were, embrace such a word as this. How, wherever you are in your spiritual experience, my friends, whatever sorrows lie upon you, whatever fears you may have, whatever doubts you may have of this glorious person, oh, that you might hear by gracious faith believe the sameness of Jesus Christ today. I often have said and will say again, this day, this glorious day of grace, this Lord's day, how did you and I approach this day? What was our exercises? What did we seek the Lord's appearance for? How was it that we could lay before the Lord not only the faithfulness of past times, but that his mercy will continue with us today? Untrodden steps today, the dawning of the Lord's day, and my friends, it brings in one sense a joy and rejoicing that we can leave the world's deceitful shore for a while and meet in the sanctuaries of God and under the gracious gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, my friends, the Lord make today a blessing to your soul. And what will the blessing be to the people of God of this day? My friends, this, that Jesus Christ is the same. That's the blessing. But you are and I am in this day of experience today. Yesterday is past and gone into eternity, and tomorrow and all the future steps have not yet come. And we, you and I, are in that place today, in this period of time, in this season of experience. Whatever this day may bring, whatever today may be to you, it might be a time of trial, it might be a time of affliction, it may be a time of doubts and fears, it may be a time of forsaking, whatever this today means to you, my friends, and to me. Let this be the blessing that you can lay hold of, that Jesus Christ is the same. You know, one of the ways in which the Lord's people often speak relative to their spiritual experiences, you find some of these dear saints of God in their latter days. And if they were prompted of the Holy Ghost, you know, and I mean that when the Holy Ghost graciously opens their heart and their understanding and gives them that grace to speak, they'll speak about the yesterdays. They'll speak about the seasons of mercy, the trials and the troubles and the way which the Lord delivered them. They'll converse as they may be given light and liberty in referring to times past. And it may be that you and I shall be found amongst such gracious people that would give Jesus Christ the honour and the glory for past mercies and favours. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, now and today. And it may be that you might fall into that place where Job was brought to. He could speak of yesterdays when the sunshine of God's love was upon him. And when things were comfortable in his soul, Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. It was the day before the troubles. The yesterdays were the times before the troubles and the trials came on. When Satan with all the spleen of hell rose up against Job, and where he brought him into almost destitution, and brought him into great times of distress and great complainings of spirit against the day which he was walking out. You see, my friends, this is where the yesterdays of the Lord's appearance to his people are to be remembered. And so these dear saints of God will remember it as they will be prompted of the Spirit, that they may come to this today. Oh, that it was as it were in times past. Is that what you say? You know, there's the spiritual language that describes the days of blessing and favours in the pathway, in the soul of the Lord's people, those first loves, as it's called. And you know, when the Lord blesses his people, they see no further than the time, and they're not brought to be concerned with the days to come. They bask, as it were, in the sunshine of his love. I remember when we were baptized in 1978, we had a note from the pastor, and he put this in his note: but there is a pathway to walk. My friends, that's the today. The pathway that you and I are walking, it's the today is that pathway. Past blessings and favours are not past and over. They're not lost sight of. They are sometimes resurrected. Gracious times are those times when the yesterday blessings are resurrected, and you wonder at the mercy and the goodness. But you see, you've come into the today time, my friends, the time of trial, the time of affliction, the time of when that gracious faith that you believed you were in possession of is being tried. This is the pilgrimage journey. This is the heat and burden of the day. These are the times when, my friends, there's one thing that shall comfort God's people, and that is an unalterable, unchangeable, faithful, merciful Jesus Christ. It may be, and we must, if we're repeating ourselves, the Lord knows, and the Lord forgive if it's wrong. But in those yesterdays of time, you may be able to look back on the forgiveness of sins. You may look back upon some nearness of the person of Jesus Christ in your pathway. You may look back on those times of trial and times of relief, times of deliverances. That's what happens in the pathways of the Lord's people in the yesterday times. But you may come now into this today and solemnly feel the hidings of his face. The mud-walled cottage shakes now, and you can't always look to see it fall. And trials and troubles, battles, warfares, opposition, oppression, many such things come into this part of the experience of the spiritual life of God's people. And they have something to look back on, if only the Lord will open up to them those past times and past mercies. Let me just remind you again, as we know by experience, and the Lord's people will know by experience, some of the past times when he was pleased to come and bless you with a promise. What was the promise for? The future days. One such promise comes to my mind, and it may be a word in season to someone, but go back in the book of Genesis to Jacob. Go back to Bethel, where he laid under the stars and he saw that remarkable vision of a ladder set up on earth. And the Lord spoke from heaven into his soul, and I will be with thee. And I will be with thee. Oh, remember the Lord Jesus Christ's own words as he ascended back to glory. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Remember what he said in John's Gospel as he was preaching his last sermon to them before his suffering. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. This is the today's experiences as you look back on the yesterdays, when the sun shone on your path, when you joyed and rejoiced in the person and presence and glory of Jesus Christ. Today, you know, and it's a day of trial, and it's a day of perplexity. Sometimes it's a day when you question your own standing. Sometimes it's a day when you wonder where the scene will end. You hope in looking back there was a yesterday experience of Jesus Christ and his mercies and his favours. If you knew forgiveness and pardon, as I mentioned before, those sins that accrue, added to, that you and I have committed since then. And it may be that you look back on those sweet seasons and you thought you'd never sin any more. It may be that you, as it were, joyed in, and rejoiced in the knowledge of the freeness and the peace and the pardon that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you wonder whether you'll ever get to glory at last now. My friends, if the Lord should speak these words to your soul, it will cheer your today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. When you, in those days that were past, visited, and I mean that very carefully and very reverently, when you visited by faith the cross of Jesus Christ, when you went to Calvary to where the Lamb was slain, when you traced out his ignominious death, when you traced out the fulfillment of countless promises and prophecies, when you saw in his death the mercy that is for sinners, when you felt an interest in the blood of Jesus, my friends, what do you now cry for? More frequent let thy visits be, and let them longer last. It's the warfare, my friends, it's the trial of faith. Though now for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. And is it not so? These are the today experiences of the Lord's people. The Lord hasn't changed. Not for a second. Not for a minute moment has the Lord changed. But it's the battle, it's the warfare, it's the trial of faith, it's the difficulties. Go back a little further than Jacob. I was going to say, in that promise of Jacob, he said, and I will be with thee. Jacob didn't know what he was walking in. All was hidden from his eyes. The future steps were all hidden from his eyes. What trials he might come in, what privations he might come in, what fears and doubts that he might come into. The day will come when they tell him that Esau's coming, not alone, but 400 men. What fears that would bring. But what comfort was the Lord's word to him. So he could pray. So he could, as it were, spread the word of his promise before his gracious God. There was said, the yesterday promises, which were your comfort then, use them, my friends, and I say it very carefully. Use them, tell the Lord of them. Tell him of his faithfulness then. Tell him of his promise then. Tell him of those hopes that were raised up, those fears which were dispelled. But today, it's darkness and it's distress and it's trouble, it's questioning this and questioning that. It's though you know that the Lord's work could be altered. There is a word, in the epistle somewhere, that his blessings are without repentance. my friends, whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Now, my friends, if you have past promises, if you have past experiences, if you have those seasons in your past spiritual life which you can feebly but faithfully claim before the Lord it was of him, my friends, you can tell him in these today troubles. I don't know about you. I don't know everything about you, my friends, but I know this of myself. I get to some places, some deep places of distress sometimes, and I have to do a little reconciliation. What's that, you say? I have, as the Holy Spirit may help me, go back the days of experience, go back to the leadings of the Spirit, go back to the movement that we trust by the Holy Spirit brought us along the path thus far. A little reconciliation to the trials, a little remembrances, these times when you can raise your Ebenezer and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. If the beginning's right, my friends, today will be right, and forever will be right. And if you've got those things which the Holy Spirit will rehearse again in your spiritual exercise, my friends, you will bring them before the Lord in these todays. But this is the blessing of today, Jesus Christ the same. We spoke about forgiveness of sin, a view of Calvary, going to Calvary to where the Lamb was slain by precious faith, beholding him in your room place instead, a sense of an interest in his sufferings. My friends, you looked at your sin and you saw that was the cause of his suffering and you mourned over it. But there was a blessing in that mourning, because blood was shed and blood put away sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the children of God experience that blessing. And they are justified. They're not justified in what they've done. They're not justified in anything that they have done. But they're justified in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Today you've lost sight of the mercies. You've lost sight of the favours. You've lost sight of the comforts. I said this morning that David said in his psalm, and I say it continually because I need the experience of it my own self, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of thy salvation was the yesterday experiences of David. And it's the yesterday's experiences that you feel to need now that would somewhat put you into that sense of comfort and of mercy in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. So, sinner saved by grace, whoever you are, whatever he's done for you yesterday will stand you in good stead today. Oh, you'll say, what about the sins and iniquities of today? What about the forgetfulness? My friends, you sing the hymn we're going to sing as we close. My friends, it's a hymn of mercy. And if you've known mercy yesterday, you'll know mercy today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. This period of experience, this time of walking out, what is decreed and appointed for you, this is the time of faith, the trying of faith to you and to me. It may be, my friends, in those glorious days of yesterday, you felt that whatever pathway that you've come into, the faith would stand sure. You felt whatever trial or trouble came against you, that you would stand, because his faith and his grace was all sufficient. I'm sure of this, and we have scriptural authority to say so, that the Apostle Peter, when, and I looked at I was going to read those words in Luke 22. Jesus Christ said to Peter in Luke 22, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And the faith of Apostle Peter went into the fire. Now, his own words was, though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. That was yesterday. That was the fervency of his faith, and I believe the poor man felt it was so. I believe he could say, that's the honest, true desire of my soul. The whole lot of them can fail, Jesus Christ, but I will never. But you see, it didn't take a lot of work, did it? Satan didn't have to raise up an army against Peter. He didn't have to come and use persecution and oppression. My friends, he sent damsels. And they just asked the question concerning Peter and his knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he was one of them that was with Jesus. And in a moment of time he fell. I read it through this afternoon, Luke 22. Or I read the part I wanted to read. How three times he denied the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He could have said with a good hymn writer that he was ashamed of Jesus. Ashamed that he might be the subject of the same treatment, the same oppression, the same means of death. And so he was in due course. Oh, to hide his knowledge, and you know, there's a language which the Lord's people use. It's a pure language. It's grace is the language. The world doesn't understand it. But you see, he changes language. He cursed and he swore. That was Peter the apostle, who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But my friends, he had to learn, and he learned it very solemnly, but he learned it. The cock crew, and it brought as a flood to his memory what Jesus Christ has said. And I'm sure it brought what he said into his mind. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. And what was the today? My friends, the day was this. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus Christ hadn't changed. Peter had fell and been restored. Restoring grace was the subject, was the blessing, was the favour that the Apostle Peter enjoyed. My friends, that today, this time of trial, this great affliction, this great spiritual affliction upon the soul. You know, in those sacred yesterdays of the beginnings of grace in the soul and the revealings of Christ to his people and those holy words of comfort and assurance. And you know, Peter was there when the Lord Jesus Christ said, and I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. He was there, he was the subject of that promise, but he still fell. But he knew what it was to rejoice in restoring grace. Whom having not seen ye love, he wrote. He also wrote this concerning, and this is how what he learned out of these experiences, which were grieving, distressing, troubling, and humbling also. He learned this, that you were not I will read it and then we shall get it accurate. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. Now, it came to my thought then, this. It may be that you walk now in a path you thought or you feel you've never walked before. It may be that you're in that path. Many days or months, it may be years with some of you, that you've travelled through this vale of tears and down you've gone into trouble, the Lord's appeared, mercifully delivered you, brought you up out of it, out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set your feet upon a rock and put a song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. But it may be, my friends, that you're in a path you've never been before. We come to these places and these spots. I've often felt, my friends, it's though the Lord's people are consciously taught of the Spirit as they travel on, and so their experiences, little or much, compare with the people of God. But it pleases God, by His Spirit, to bring them into a place where they haven't got any comfort, nor any hope, nor any help in past times, nor in the experiences of the Lord's people. My friends, what are they going to do? The epistle to the Hebrews says this: wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which hath so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friends, that's the remedy. That's the only remedy. That's the path where the Lord's people shall be brought in this today. A path you've never walked, didn't think you ever would, thought your faith would stand, and now you lay your case before the Lord, a path you've never walked before. I read the other day of the temptations of Jesus Christ. Could you ever believe that the Son of God should be the subject of temptation? And why was it so? Well, you read again in this same epistle, you go back to the second chapter of this epistle, and you will find these words: for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Now, my friends, these new paths, these unwalked out paths, these inexperienced paths, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. I thought a moment ago of the apostle's words in his second epistle to the Corinthians, when he speaks about his thorn in the flesh: lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. And what was it for? To buffet him. It was what we might call ballast to his pathway. It laid him low and it kept him low. But he resorted to the throne of grace with it. Thrice did I pray. Thrice he got the answer: no. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My friends, that's what this blessed and glorious head of grace will bring. When he comes to his people's aid and help, you know, don't come empty handed. The same yesterday and today. All sufficient grace. What pathway? This new pathway, this unexplainable, something that we never thought we'd walk into. My friends, it's not a strange path to Christ, because such a path is ordered, decreed from heaven, that you and I shall walk through it. But what will we prove in it? You know, that's the purpose, my friends, of the fire. The fire shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. And that's what he'll do in this new pathway today. He'll give you grace. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. Wonderful mercy, my friends, when you can have a face view of this glorious person in all his mercy. His mercy cannot change. His love to his dear people cannot change. His union to his people cannot change. What he's done for them cannot alter. The blood that he shed was shed for many. Have you ever wondered at the prophecy of Zechariah? Wonderful prophecy, you know, some hundreds of years were to pass over this vain world of sin and woe till that prophecy should come to pass. What prophecy? In that day. Now, my friends, you and I understand the language of yesterday and today. In that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. That's what's experienced in that today. And it flows from the wounds of Jesus. You know, that was a blessed and sacred and solemn occasion when the wounds of Jesus were opened and the fountain flowed, the fountain of his blood. Since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Can it alter? Can that precious blood lose its power? Well, the poet said it couldn't, and experience will confirm it. My friends, just as much in the yesterdays of your spiritual experience when you pleaded to know the preciousness and the experience and the peace-speaking virtue of that blood, my friends, so it is today. Fresh in roads of sin, you say. It doesn't alter the validity of that blood, nor the ability of that blood either. Today, as you go on in your walk and pathway, as you travel on into this trial, that trouble, this affliction, that affliction, this separating work, this pathway which you seem to walk alone, my friends, changes, it comes about, it must come about. All things will change, but my friends, all things but Christ. The same yesterday, did he speak to you yesterday? Did he commune with your soul in your yesterday's experience? My friends, how precious was his word. How precious was his voice. How suitable was it to the trial or the trouble or the difficulty or the loss or the cross you were in when the Lord spoke? And he still speaks. Jesus speaks. And speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? The same yesterday and today. Unalterably the same. And there's something else, you know, the children of God and only the children of God. As I said as I commenced this morning, My friends, this is no word for the worldly. This is no word for the professor. This is the word to the tried and the troubled people of God who see changes come about, who feel inward changes, and fear them, lest they should rob them of that inheritance of the saints of light. The same yesterday and today. My friends, we have to prove this, don't we? Might be a simple statement to make, my friends, but this is where the Lord's people found. They prove me. Prove me now herewith, will I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it? Have you ever thought, you know, have you ever been tempted that you're in a place where the mercy of God can't reach? Has he showed you that your present sinful state has sinned, or has it been shown you that your present sinful state is above and beyond the mercy and goodness of God? My friends, we tried to, on last Wednesday, we mentioned the word mercy, and we tried, as it were, to be able to see what was contained in that word mercy. And we found we were such a disadvantage. It was a subject too great, and it was a subject too deep. But my friends, his mercy hasn't changed. It's one thing to sing about it, it's another thing to prove it. And you will find, my friends, in your todays, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today, that it is verily true, unalterably true, sacredly, mercifully, wonderfully true, that there's no alteration in this blessed and glorious person, who is indeed the Saviour of the lost. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I know it's been said time and time again. It's said always in such a word as this. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says forever. But be it said again, my friends, that's your comfort if you believe, if you're a believer. Forever. Do you know where forever is? However long your life may be. When I was quite young, I remember a dear old lady, and I thought she was ever so old, and she was only 70, and she said to me, it's been mercy all the way. Now I'm beyond that number, but this word doesn't speak about tomorrow, because if it said tomorrow, it brings a restriction. It would bring a restriction. Satan would say, maybe tomorrow, but what after that? But it don't say that. My friends, it says forever. It says forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And what he is yesterday, what he is today, he'll be forever. If he's blessed you with his grace yesterday, if he's maintained that grace in your soul today, that grace will give place to glory. If you have by precious faith some slight understanding by revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, what must it be, my friends, when you see him face to face? I'd have a dear and happy home, and much my home I love, but is there now prepared for me a better home above? And that's the place where you'll see him forever, child of grace. You lose sight of him now, it's darkness, it's grieving to your soul, you do not joy and rejoice. You know, they said to the Jews in Babylon, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, you may know what that means spiritually. But you see, contrary to what the world will say, contrary to what Satan will try to make you to believe, there's a forever. And you will find there, as you found here, my friends, but in a greater, real, and most sacred season, that he's the same. The same. Well, we must leave it. I never thought you could keep preaching from the same text. I never thought there's something new in this same glorious truth of Jesus Christ. But there is, you know, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into it. And you'll sacredly enjoy the truth of this promise as the Holy Spirit may be pleased to bring it to your notice. Lay it upon your spirit. When everything else changes, the world will change, it will grow worse. Friendships fail and foes unite, it'll all happen. That's what happens. You lose your loved ones, my friends, you lay them in the grave. All changes, everything changes. Time will bring an end to everything, but not to Jesus Christ. That's the comfort, that's the strength. You see, and I must close, my friends, but let me go back to the last chapter, but one of Deuteronomy. Let me just remind you of the Jews of old, the Israelites of old, travelled there 40 years. And they were in now coming up to the moment when they shall be brought into the fulfillment of the covenant. They shall enter into Canaan. What lay before them? Jordan. Jordan overflowed its banks in harvest time. How impossible was it? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And so they proved it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.
The notices for this evening are as follows. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and our pastor will be with us next Lord's Day. Let us conclude by singing hymn 11.
Attention to the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8.